إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the last of the four things that we mentioned in the ayat of Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِي فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, and the one who does the ita'at of Allah, who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa yakhsha Allah wa yattaqi, who has the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who has taqwa. So four conditions of being among the faizun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who are finally and ultimately successful, who are al-faizun. Now, taqwa, as I have said many times before, is a outcome of khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the result of khashyat. And this is where, inshallah, tomorrow we'll see the relationship between all of these four. But just to see today, this is where the result of khashyat comes from knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned yesterday, we talked about the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that inna wa yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama, that the people who have khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ulama, are the people who are truly the scholars, because they have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the result of knowledge is khashyat. Law anzalna hadha al-Qur'an ala jabalin la ra'aytahu khashiyan mutasaddia. So if the mountain had knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the Quran had been sent on a mountain, the Quran is a symbol of knowledge, then the mountain would have humbled itself in min khashyatillah, with the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with this knowledge and humbling before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes the issue of taqwa. And taqwa is the consciousness, the awareness, the willingness never to offend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this taqwa comes also from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's the combination of khashyat of Allah and the love of Allah, the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned many times before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a distinguishing sign of the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Allah said the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So this hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is combined with khashyat, which is the result of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings about a condition where the believer does not want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. The sign of this taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between them are the doubtful things. Al-halal ubayyin wa haram ubayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. Kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, between these two things are the doubtful things. And he said, the one who avoids the doubtful is the one who is safe. So he said, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So therefore, taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. And this is a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who has the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows Allah and he has the awe and majesty and glory of Allah in his heart, not only will he not deliberately disobey Allah, but he will not even go close to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He won't even do something which might be disobedience. He is not sure. What is sure, he will never do. There is no question of that. But he might not be sure, even that he will not do. Yeah, and this is very important to remember, because today, as we are sitting here, you know, inshallah, Ramadan al-Kareem starts here tomorrow. The usual thing every year, I get messages from everywhere saying, if I did anything wrong, please forgive me. Now, this is a sign of, first of all, of stupidity, apart from anything else. But other than that, it's a sign of complete carelessness and, you know, not understanding responsibility. Where is the question of if I did something, where is the question of if you did something wrong, you know you did something wrong. Yeah? So you apologize. You go and correct that wrong to whomever you did it. What is this blanket, if I did? So you don't even know if you did or not. Yeah? Because first of all, if you did something without knowledge, there is no culpability. So there is no punishment involved. Allah will forgive, inshallah. Because what you did without knowledge. If you are fasting and without remembering that you are fasting, if you eat some food, the fast is not nullified. So what you did without knowledge, there is no need to apologize for that. What you did deliberately, first of all, a Muslim must not commit a sin deliberately, as simple as that. Why would you do something wrong? When you know something is haram, when you know something is wrong, as a Muslim, what is the justification for doing it in the first place? Right? And if you did it, then immediately, as soon as you realize, you don't wait for the first of Ramadan to send this message, or you don't wait for time before you're going for Hajj or Umrah, you make amends right away. This is a sign of taqwa. This business of sending these blanket messages, this is not a sign of taqwa. This is a sign of I don't know what. But key thing is, a sign of taqwa is to, first of all, avoid everything, stay far away from everything which you know to be wrong. And then to, if you do something wrong, immediately correct it then and there. We have two kinds of people. Both are extremes. One is people who think that, whatever you do, Allah is Ghafur Rahim. So, no problem. Do whatever you want. Halal, haram, everything. And Allah will forgive. This is complete foolishness. This goes against what Allah has said in the Quran. I am not denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to forgive anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put Firaun in Jannatul Firdausul Ala if he wants. There is no one to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah did not say that He will put Firaun there. So if somebody says Firaun is going to be in Jannat, Firaun is talking nonsense, right? We are not denying the Qudrat of Allah to do something. But Allah Himself said, I will not forgive. Then where is the question of forgiveness? So seriously, people who want to do all kinds of haram and they feel, no, Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Well, we leave their case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not going to sit here and say this or that. But I am saying that this is definitely neither logically correct nor is it Islamically correct. There is no proof for any of this. The other side of the story is equally, unjustified, where people say, but you see, I am steeped in sin, I am full of sin, I am an ocean of sin. What is the meaning of this? You are a fool. I mean, you what you are saying is lies, and you think that by saying these lies that you are somehow elevating yourself. Why are you saying this? First of all, if you are an ocean of sin, it means something is seriously wrong with you. Because as a Muslim, why are you committing sins? If what you are saying is actually true, if you say, I am full of sin, if that is actually true, then why are you committing sin? Where is your taqwa? And if it is not true, then you are telling a lie for what? Who are you trying to impress by saying, I am so sinful? Who are you trying to impress? So, seriously, this kind of foolish statements must not be made. This is a complete stupidity. So, very important thing to understand, as a Muslim, you and I have no right to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately. If something happens, it has to happen by mistake. If it happened by mistake, then let us immediately make amends. There is no question of being full of sin or something like this, right? At the same time, I am not saying go around and say, no, I am completely pure. There is no need to claim anything. There is no need to claim anything. Let us look at our lives. What we do is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us correct that. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and straighten our lives. So, don't make either of these ridiculous statements. Now, this beautiful sign of taqwa from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the seerah and the lives of the Sahaba, there is there's no shortage of examples to describe issues of taqwa. But one of my favorite ones is when the ayat came prohibiting alcohol. When the final ayat came, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rijsum min amali shaitan. Allah said, this amal of drinking alcohol, Rijsum min amali shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fajtanibu. Allah said, stay far away from this. So when this ayat came, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu beautifully describes that. He said that I was in my house and there were some people who were my guests, and I was pouring wine for them when the munadi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the announcer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came into our street and he made this announcement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this ayah, right? So this is happening while he is pouring wine for the people. And among the people who were there with him was, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas was there, radiallahu anhu was there, wallahu alam, and Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was there. So they were big sahaba who were there with Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, wallahu alam, in that place. Now they were pouring, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, as I was pouring the wine, I moved my hand away and poured the wine onto the ground. So imagine, he's pouring it into the glass, he moves his hand away. And then he said, we emptied the glass. He said, the people who were with us there, who had wine in their glass, they threw it. He said, anyone who had even taken a sip of wine, he was holding the wine in his mouth, he did not swallow it, he spat it out. He didn't say, okay, last sip. No. What was in the mouth? He spat it out. Then, and this is the issue of hubb of Allah, love of Allah, of the khashyat of Allah in the heart, and of the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of taqwa. The Sahaba then, Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu says, the Sahaba then emptied their wine jars. You know, wine making is a great art. I mean, it's haram, but it's an art. It's not something which can be done easily. There is a lot of science involved in it and so on and so forth. One thing goes wrong, the wine will turn to vinegar. Completely millions of dollars worth of stock. That's why in wine country, if you go to France, if you go to Spain, if you go to the Cape in South Africa and so on, they are extremely, extremely careful with regard to allowing anyone to come into the actual wine making area. You have to disinfect yourself and all kinds of things to go in there, because any contamination will completely destroy, millions of dollars worth of stock, because that wine becomes vinegar. So, wine making was an art. The Arabs used to make wine mostly out of dates and so on. So, they obviously, this thing was there. It was for generations, for hundreds of years. Allah knows how long they used to make wine. So, they had big jars of wine and so on, which is made in season. The Sahaba said, Abu Hurairah said, they took these jars and they emptied them in the drains. He said, wine was flowing in the street, in the drains, like water. And then they broke the jars. Right? They smashed the containers. Now, when this was informed to Rasulullah, he called them and he said, why did you break the jars? Why did you smash the containers? Because the container is not by itself halal or haram. Container is a container. He said, you could have washed the containers and used them for something else. Because obviously, containers are useful. The Sahaba said, Abu Hurairah says, he said, we said to Rasulullah, we said, Ya Rasulullah, we broke the containers because we did not even want to leave a trace of the time when we did not used to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We wanted to destroy all memory of the fact that we did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now see the level of taqwa in this. First of all, when they were drinking wine before the ayat was revealed, were they actually disobeying Allah? They were not disobeying, because it was not prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed two other ayat before that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not come close to salah. La taqrabu salah wa antum sukara, when you are in a state of intoxication and so on. So there was no prohibition. There was something to say, okay, this is not a good thing, stay away from it and so on. So the prohibition only came, and as soon as the prohibition came, they immediately obeyed. So what they did before the prohibition was not even disobedience, but even that they didn't want. And this is the whole point of taqwa. Even the whole point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muhabbat is that people wanted to stay away even where there was no real disobedience. They said, even that we don't want. Right? And it's an amazing fact of history. That prohibition in Medina was introduced without spending a single dollar, without spending one single dinar, one single dirham, without one police officer, without one person being arrested, without any fines, without any punishment, without any jail, without anything. Whereas, you know what happens whenever prohibition is introduced in this country. We know in the 1930s in America, they tried to introduce prohibition, they tried to ban alcohol, and they spent millions of dollars. Millions of dollars were spent, people were put in jail, fines, this, that, all kinds of things happened in the 1930s in America. And finally, they came to a conclusion, they said it is impossible to implement prohibition, and therefore no prohibition. It might be surprising for some people to know this. This is actual fact, a historical fact. There was an attempt to introduce prohibition in America. It failed. In spite of all the police and all the force and all the... Because the khashyat of Allah is not there. There is no desire to obey. You are trying to force something. What you try to force never works. What you try to force never works. Whereas in the case of Islam, the Sahaba, khashyat of Allah was built, the greatness and glory and majesty and nur of Allah illuminated the hearts of people. And therefore, as soon as Allah does not like, Allah said, stay away, fashtanibu, they did not say, no, 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 Allah did not use the word haram. Allah only said, fashtanibu, stay away. We have our own interpretation. Today, there are people who have no taqwa, or no iman, who make these statements. But the Sahaba did not understand. They understood fashtanibu as something which is even more than haram. Allah is saying, don't, Allah is not saying, don't cross the boundary. He is saying, don't even go close to the boundary. And that is the meaning of taqwa, is to stay away from the boundary. And this is exactly the example that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that it is like a shepherd who is grazing his sheep. He said, every king has a haram, every king has a boundary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's boundary are his prohibitions. And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, it's like a shepherd who's grazing his sheep close to the boundary of the king. If he goes close to the boundary, it is possible that one of the sheep will stray and go across the boundary, then the shepherd will be in trouble. So the safety for the shepherd is, do not even go close to the boundary of the king. And the hurumat, the prohibitions that Allah has made are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, who is the malikul haqq. So therefore, I remind myself and you to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ensure that we never do anything which amounts to something which might displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole point of, and this is coming into the first of Ramadan, inshallah tomorrow we will put all of these things together. The whole point of Ramadan is to develop taqwa. And we ask Allah to enable us to do that, and to enable us to live our lives in a way which are always pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmallahi.